When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. No advice.
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Talk podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie Blake.
Hi, mate.
Hello, mate.
How's it going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well.
How was your Christmas?
Yeah, it's grand.
Yeah?
Yeah, grand.
Did Santa bring you nice things?
Yeah, it did, yeah. Santa brought me some quite nice stuff, mostly clothing or climbing related. So, You know, old man now, aren't I? The problem is, like, when you get to 32, nearly, you suddenly realise that all the things that you really value are really practical.
Oh, yeah.
So I got like a gym towel, and I'm pretty sure it's one of my best presents. I used it. I was like quite excited about using it today for the first time. I was like, oh, test drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely stuff.
A test drive.
Yeah. Oh, test drive. Got a hammer.
Nice. What kind of hammer?
Yeah. Oh, it's got... I actually read it. It's like a transformer hammer because it you can unscrew the top and then it's like there's a screwdriver in there.
What?
There's a screwdriver in the handle. It's like a Swiss Army knife of a hammer.
Nice.
It's amazing.
Swiss
or
Army
like
hammer.
Like blade sword with a hammer. It's incredible. And this is the thing is I think I just spent all of my life now being like, oh yeah, this is useful and therefore I like it. And now anything frivolous, I'm like, frivolous, waste of time, get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, no,
minimalist life.
One of the best presents I got this year, not only was the knitted sweater that my mum made me, which was lovely, but also I got loose leaf tea and a tea strainer.
Oh, see.
I'm so excited for it. And like,
delightful.
My in-laws got me this giant box of Japanese food items. So I can make ramen.
Ah, see, that's great. Because I was like looking on Twitter and stuff over Christmas and I saw like Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae, obviously like massive Disney fans, big nerds. And they had a picture of their like Christmas and like behind them was just all toys. And I was like, children, absolutely, get a hammer.
Get something practical in your life.
Pathetic, get a hammer. Get some driving lessons. I don't know what you need.
Oh, that's great. What did you do for New Year?
New Year, I went to a pub around the corner from my house that I haven't been to for a while. Hadn't really been there over the festive season, but it's near the riverfront in Deptford. So it's like on a road that cars don't go down. So basically they've taken over the whole street. And it's all Christmas lights and big Christmas tree, and they've got like multiple Christmas trees sticking out the front of the building, and then like it's all really nicely done inside. Went there and they had a band and they were playing like covers, but they were really good because it was just one guy playing one of those like boxes that you drum on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Whatever they're called, a cajon, and then guy on the rhythm guitar and then singing. And they were just doing covers, but they were taking requests. So they ended up doing like a cover of Cher's Believe and things like that. And I was like, this is top quality stuff.
Yeah.
And then they had a little fireworks display as well at midnight. So we just ended up staying there all evening and making loads of friends who were average age 65, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Good stuff, mate. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got this Rusev hey to read out before we get into the main show. This comes in from Joseph, who says, "Hi, Luke, and whomever else is co-hosting alongside you today."
It's me.
It's Laurie. I have a Rusev hey for you. It involves me traveling on the same flight as the SmackDown crew a few weeks ago. I had no idea I was on the same plane until I started seeing wrestlers boarding the flight. The pure shock when I saw Dolph Ziggler find his seat a few rows in front of me. Eventually, the plane started filling up and the seat next to me had not been taken. Behind me came Alexa Bliss, who softly spoke, "Excuse me," as she squeezed by me to get into her seat. I was in pure shock. I instantly knew I was going to be sat next to Alexa Bliss for the next 2 hours. I was screaming excitement in my head, but I knew I needed to keep my cool and not come across as creepy.
Think about cold showers. Cold showers, cold showers, cold showers.
I would have just leant over and gone like, "Goofy movie is the best Disney movie," which would have been the creepiest thing possible. Oh, yeah. Or I would have seen if I could find...
You could do it without whispering, I think.
It's, just gone, by the way, I also think that a Goofy movie is the best Disney movie produced in the 90s.
There you go.
Anyway, Joseph said, "I decided the best approach was to pretend like I didn't know who she was and I just engaged in small talk."
Yeah.
Do you... I've never understood this. Talking to strangers on planes.
No.
It's never happened to me. I've never done it. Who?
I mean, I have done it.
What, engaged like, with small
have,
with strangers
engaged
on an airplane?
In small talk with strangers on
Did you
planes.
Instigate it?
No.
Oh, okay.
It just sort of like...
I was going to say,
you know,
that would really
you know,
surprise
you know
me.
When it just happens and it just is like... something happens that everyone sort of ends up commenting on and then you end up in a conversation.
Mm.
Usually that. It's not like a... you know, something fell on the floor and everyone goes, whoop, and then you end up being like, "Oh, that fell on the floor, didn't it? Yeah, it did, yeah, it was on the floor for a bit, and then we picked it up. Yeah, where are you going to?" That sort of thing, all like Goofy movies, best Disney movie.
I think I'm just like, I sit down, put my headphones in, I'm like, I'm shutting all of you out now. I'm in this tin tube with you all now. You give me all your germs for the next 3 hours.
Well, that's it.
I have to say, for a solid 45... I have to say, from our solid 45 minutes talking on and off throughout the flight, she came across as a really sweet woman, very charitable and hardworking, based on me peeking at her notes about ideas from what I could tell. Mm. He says here, "I know that I was very naughty." What ideas is she writing down on a piece of paper?
Oh, I don't know.
Coffee.
Moments of bliss. Yeah, she's written down bigger cups.
Bigger cups equals... moreover, question mark?
Yeah. Yeah.
But essentially...
nudity? Question mark?
Thumbnail.
Yeah.
But
being
eventually...
court changing. Some of her finest work.
But eventually, I told her I knew who she was, and she laughed because she knew I knew who she was for some reason. Never figured out why. I referred to Biscuit Butt halfway through the conversation and didn't realize it. Oh, dear. But moral of the story, don't lie. And I know, Pixar, it didn't happen. And he has got a picture of him with Alexa Bliss on his flight where he's cropped himself out of the photo.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. So actually, don't know if that's really him. No. He could have taken that from anywhere.
It's just a slice of someone's face in that. Could be anyone.
Oh, that's lovely, though.
That is nice.
Yeah. I don't think if I was sat next to Alexa Bliss on a flight, or any WWE star on a flight, that I would say, "Oh, hello."
I think I'd ask to move.
I'm sorry, I'm sat next to Seth Rollins and he's just like, not cool. I just
hope he hasn't seen any of the things I've been saying. I need to move.
I just really, really need to move. Right, well, let's get into the show itself because it's not anything WWE related. It's Wrestle Kingdom tomorrow and Sunday, and me and Laurie are going to give our predictions for the show. Here is our prediction show. Through our Wrestle Kingdom 14 predictions and then dive into your Patreon mailbag questions.
I like the fact that you think there's going to be time for a mailbag. We're going to be talking about Wrestle Kingdom for 5 days now because there are so many matches.
Yes, we've got 2 days worth of pay-per-view to cover, and in order to try
Sorry, Japan, that's too much wrestling.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing the live reactions for the Saturday show. You're effectively doing the pre-show.
Yeah, the really long... multiple hour pre-show.
Yeah, and then me and Ollie are going to come in on Sunday, which I believe the show starts at 6 a.m., which means we'll be out of here by 4 p.m. on Monday.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll all 4 p.m. Monday next year.
Yeah.
Wrestle Kingdom.
Just in time for Wrestle Kingdom 15.
There are two Okada matches. That is
2 hours of wrestling itself, Luke.
So we've got 2 days worth of wrestling to cover. So we're not going to do every single... We're not going to do all of the 8-man tags on the cards. Mm-hmm. If you are part of our Wrestle League predictions on Patreon, you are predicting on those, and we have all done predictions on those. Yeah. But for the sake of keeping this video as short as relatively possible, we're just going to do, like, as soon as the title matches start. Yeah. And I know there is, like, some really big storyline stuff with the Bullet Club and Suzuki-Goon, possibly becoming Sabre-Goon, a lot of predictions around that, and the 2 retirement matches for Jushin Thunder Liger. Mm-hmm. But for the sake of time, we're just going to kick things off on day one with the Stardom match. Mayu Iwatani and Arisa Hokushiki versus Gawila and Hana Kimura. Sorry, I've said that very badly. I also should probably get up.
Is it Julia or is it...
It could well be, yeah. My Stardom knowledge is not huge, but I did know I went with Iwatani's team.
So I think I'm going to go with Iwatani as well. There's not really much, like, beyond 3 of them being quite big names in Stardom.
Mm.
That's pretty much the story of the match. And then Julia is a recent signing, but she is quite controversial when she left where she was before.
Oh,
and
right.
And turned up the day after that she'd quit.
Oh.
And so then she was being called Judas by everyone.
That's
obviously,
cool.
There's another Judas on the card, so that's important.
Okay, well, that's interesting then. Yeah. So, yeah, I think this is a big deal.
Yeah.
Like, that we're getting the Stardom match out of Wrestle Kingdom. And I'm really excited for it. It's on your day, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's on, yeah. So I think it's a really, really cool thing that we are getting that. I'm going to grab our predictions form that we've done that Andy made, because I've actually forgotten half of the predictions that I've made. Well, not that I've forgotten.
That's why I'm doing this first, and then after I'll do
that. Yeah, so I'm just getting them up now so I can remember. Right, where do we get to? Where do we get to?
Give us the first match, mate.
Give us the first match. It is the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama and Tonga. Tonga Loa. Deary me.
Tanger and Tama.
Tanger and Tama is what I was trying to say, versus Finn Juice of Juice Robinson and David Finlay for the IWGP Tag Team Championships.
Finn Juice.
I've gone Finn Juice as well.
Finn Juice. I feel like a lot of people are picking Finn Juice because I think a lot of people aren't particularly enamored with GOD's current title reign. And they're like, maybe a breath of fresh air is what we need here.
Well, I figured I went with Finn Juice because of Dave's return. Mm. Like, I think Dave returning and you know, coming back into the New Japan fold,
yep,
just feels like this is a good time to put the titles onto them. Although Juice is, you know, he's up for double championships this weekend because he's on day 2.
So that is the thing. If Finn Juice win here, Juice gets the US title shot on the second day.
On day 2, yeah.
Against either Mox or Lance.
Archer.
That probably means that Juice isn't going to win that match.
Which is weird.
By this prediction, because there's already a couple of double championships on the line.
I've actually got Juice down.
Have you?
To win the title. Because I feel like this...
double champion.
I'm double juicing. I just feel like this whole, like, this...
Well, this is a completely different Lance. It's Armstrong, isn't it? The double juicer.
I just feel like this whole US title thing has been really, like, for Juice to get back the title.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have gone double Juice. Speaking of, actually, on day 1, Lance Archer versus Jon Moxley for the IWGP United States Championship. The winner of this match is going to go into day 2 to defend the belt against Juice.
I mean, so, like, the outside wrestling view is that Rene Young's gone over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like you'd go over to Japan for one day. Yeah, I'd go.
I've just come back. It was a long old fight.
I'd go for 2. Yeah. Mox here.
You're going with Mox?
But also, because I think this then, if Mox wins here, Juice is day 2. This is the match that was meant to be booked, and Mox had to, like, be stripped of the title because he couldn't turn up because he was ill, wasn't he?
No, it was the ash clouds and stuff that they couldn't get the flights.
Oh, he couldn't get over. He got taken off the card and then had to be stripped of the title. So this is the rematch that's been, like, long brewing.
Yeah,
and I think here it has to be Mox to win.
So I think I've gone with Archer, and I don't really have a good reason as to why, but I just felt, I don't know, I didn't see them doing 2 days of Moxley. Mm. Like, I've heard Moxley, he said in an interview that he'd like to wrestle in New Japan forever now. I think he very much enjoys being over there.
Yeah.
It's very interesting to note then, because he's got that 1 year opt-out for AEW. So come May, he could leave AEW and possibly go over to New Japan full-time. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be a very interesting match to keep an eye on, particularly with that possible, when Meltzer was talking about, the AEW-New Japan partnership.
Yeah.
So there is a lot at kind of in play here to lead me towards Mox, but I'm sticking with Archer because I think the bigger money is in that Archer Juice rematch, and Juice finally beating Archer to get that title back. other than him beating Mox. So I'm sticking with Archer. Right, well, for the Junior Heavyweight Championship, we got Will Ospreay versus Hiromu Takahashi, the returning Hiromu Takahashi. I think it's got to be Takahashi.
It's got to be Takahashi.
Got to be Takahashi.
He's been on the losing end of his last few matches as well, so I think like this is the all building up to a big comeback win.
Exactly, the big comeback kid gets the Junior Heavyweight Championship. I think it's for me, this one seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and then Will Ospreay can shoot off up the card.
And I'd like to see him go back, like because he kind of like seemed to escape the Junior Heavyweight division in 2019. You know, going into the sort of the never open weight and stuff like that. And I thought we might be seeing him do the Kenny Omega journey of like, yeah, I was a junior heavyweight, but I'm now entering myself into the heavyweight division. The Young Bucks did the same thing, getting out the junior tag title division. I'd like to see Will do the same thing. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see Will lose the belt here and 2020 be about him going into the heavyweight division so that he can go toe-to-toe with, you know, these guys over either the US title or the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I mean, from the look of his Instagram, he's been working hard on bulking up. So.
And like the dude's, you know, he's the greatest wrestler on the planet. Mm-hmm. Like we said this in our 10 best wrestlers of 2019. I don't think there's a good solid argument to say that he's not the best wrestler on the planet at the moment. No one has yet to give me a solid argument as to why he's not the best wrestler on the planet.
Well, Seth Rollins has something to say about that one.
Perhaps. For the Intercontinental Championship, we've got Jay White, the defending champion, against Tetsuya Naito. Mm-hmm. What are you thinking for this one?
Naito.
Yeah, I've got Naito as well.
I think Naito, spoiler, is going big time.
You think he's going double champ?
Big time for Naito. Yeah.
big time for big weekend.
Boy pants on, and he's going to be double champ Naito.
Yeah, because that has been he's been wanting to do that for quite some time now, and it feels like this has been almost the culmination of this.
Yeah.
I do think Ibushi's going to ruin that for him, though.
You do?
I do. But we'll get on to that because we have got for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, Kazuchika Okada versus Kota Ibushi. So are you going?
I think you've gone Bushi.
I've gone Ibushi, Bushi. Yeah. I've gone for Ibushi on that one. What are you saying?
I've gone for Okada.
Gone Okada?
Yeah.
Okay.
Logic being that Okada has made it quite clear that he's not interested in the double championship. Like, he only cares about the heavyweight championship. He's only challenged for the heavyweight championship, basically, since his return. So here, I think this puts more pressure on Naito to have Okada win this match. And, like, Ibushi can bounce back, I think, from this. And maybe they'll just do a double G1 win for Ibushi.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and then Okada wins here. That then puts all the pressure on Naito, because Naito is now the only one who cares about the double championship. Like, Okada is literally there being like, I'm going to win it. I'm going to win it just because I have to.
Yeah, and I can.
I think that just builds that story better.
That is a really interesting way to look at it. Plus, you can build to the rematch of Ibushi Okada for the title down the line.
And I think because I'm backing Naito, I think also Ibushi winning here and then just losing the night after.
Yeah.
Does more damage than him just losing here.
It's going to be a really fascinating weekend, not just for the sort of storytelling across two pay-per-views consecutively and then going into New Year's Dash the following day, but also from a Wrestle League perspective, because the scores are quite tight at the moment, but there are 20 points at play here.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's nuts. But let's move on into day two, where we've got my boy, Zack Sabre Jr. versus Sanada for the RevPro British Heavyweight Championship. I said to Ollie, we were doing our Patreon shout-out videos yesterday when he did his Wrestle Kingdom predictions for one of our Patreon backers. And I said, the saddest thing about this is we're not going to get Chris Roberts as referee.
Do your job, Roberts.
Do your job, Roberts. I've gone for Zack.
You've gone for Zack?
I've gone for a Zack retention.
I feel like everyone's gone for Sanada normally, but I also just want to go for Zack just for, like, I like Zack.
Yeah, that's so it.
I'm just backing Zack.
I'm just looking forward to him stretching Sanada out, essentially. Yeah, and I really like Sanada, but
I think realistically Sanada's going to win.
You going with Sanada?
No, I'm going with Zack.
Okay, go with Zack.
I think I've actually done myself a disservice here, and I'm losing myself a point on purpose just because I want Zack to win.
Yeah, it's I don't know what the...
If you don't believe sometimes, put your money where your mouth is.
I don't know if Sanada's got any bookings for RevPro coming up with the heavyweight title.
He's appeared quite a lot.
He has appeared quite a lot, yeah. But it's, and I'm sticking with Zack. Although it is, because there's all the Suzuki... No, and actually this is why I'm going to stick with Sabre Jr. Because he's the only winner of the group. That's why I'm sticking with Zach. Right, so for the United States Championship, for you, it's going to be Moxley versus Juice. For me, it is Archer versus Juice. Mm-hmm. Try and keep up at home. I have gone with a Juice win.
So Juice is a double champion in your book?
In my book.
I don't think Juice is going to win. I don't think they're going to do a double champion thing. So he's probably going
to... Oh, no, I haven't. I've written TBD, apparently.
Yeah.
I've written Archer.
So you've gone for Archer.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with TBD.
So you're going with that? Well. You're going... Okay. Well, I'm going to put TBD, so...
TBD, I think, is better because there's two choices.
Mox.
So Archer. That's a... Yeah. 66% chance rather than a 33%.
And we all love that Steiner math.
Well, that's it. I love that math.
Yeah.
I think maybe Mox could.
Yeah. God, I've gone with...
Could win and retain.
I've already talked myself into it being a Juice win. I don't know why I've then picked Archer to retain. Did I do this wrong? Have I done form wrong?
I think you've changed your mind somewhere during this process.
Yeah.
And it's messed up. That's why I don't do the form first, because I just make poor choices now.
I'm changing it now. Juice.
Juice.
I'm going back to Juice.
So you're going for Juice. You want Juice to be double champion.
Well, I do. I like Juice.
I just think that then dicks on the Naito thing.
Yeah, but I'm not going with that storyline.
No, it doesn't matter which storyline it is, because somebody has to be a double champion, Luke.
Well, it's only a tag belt.
I think it counts.
Kenta versus Hirooki Goto for the NEVER Openweight Championship.
Kenta.
I have gone Kenta.
Because Kenta is having the time of his life.
He is indeed. And he's been
bloody
great.
Love Kenta.
He's been awesome.
This is, again, like another... I think a lot of people have also just gone for Goto, but mm-hmm. I'm just... Big Kenta fan.
Being with Kenta.
Just like, stick on his side. I'll back you wherever you go, friend.
I'm going with Kenta. I'm getting Ospreay in there as well. Right, so our we've got three main events here. First up, it is the loser of the Okada Ibushi match versus the loser of the Naito White match. So in your books, it is going to be White versus Ibushi.
Yep.
And in my book, it is White versus Okada.
Sure.
Yes.
So that would be White versus Okada's big rematch.
Yes.
This would be, I guess a kind of full circle from Wrestle Kingdom last year.
Yeah. No,
Madison Square Garden,
yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't Wrestle Kingdom, it was the Madison Square Garden show.
Yeah.
Because he went off Tanahashi.
I'm going with Jay White.
You're going with Jay White? Okay, so you're going
for... I feel like Ibushi's achieved his goal.
How am I going to write this down? So I'm going to... Okay, so you're going for White or Naito.
Yeah, White-o.
And I am going... Who did I go for in my predictions? I've gone for the loser of Okada Ibushi, because I think I probably said it was Okada, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okada's not losing twice. Whatever happens.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Right, here is a really interesting one. It is Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Chris Jericho. If Tanahashi wins... he gets his AEW championship match.
Ooh.
Big, big time stips. And I've gone for Tanahashi.
There's another stipulation to this match, is there?
Is there?
I thought there might have been. Maybe not. Maybe this just leads you down the line of... Maybe this is the only stipulation, but this leads you down the line of thinking it's going to be Tanahashi. Because this is where the AEW...
possible partnership could be. Yeah, so like we have... And that's going to be our bonus question we're going to get to in a bit. But for me, I think doing Tanahashi versus Jericho, I'm wondering if they do that at Revolution.
Yeah.
So like we kind of like delay the Jericho Mox thing that they're currently building at the moment. And you delay that through to Double or Nothing, which is, you know, Moxley's mm-hmm. 1 year anniversary. That's where you do the rematch, or you do that match there. And at Revolution, you do Tanahashi Jericho, where Jericho picks up the win.
Ooh. I'm going to go Tanahashi as well. Because I don't know why you would bother. You wouldn't bother making the stipulation if it's not going to kind of...
I wonder if it's just done like... You're right, like, why bother doing it? But I wonder if it's just to add some intrigue into the match.
I guess,
which already had some intrigue in it because it's, it's Le Champion versus the Ace.
Mm-hmm.
But having that AEW tease in there is also...
I guess, it depends on what way you think the AEW and New Japan's relationship is going to go.
Yeah.
And if you're sort of on the side of they are going to have a working relationship, this seems logical. Also, because Mox is there. And that mm-hmm. this could also then factor into... that side of things as well. Maybe Moxley's part of the reason Tanahashi picks up the win. I don't think you'd want to do that with Tanahashi, but...
Well, the interesting side of this is in AEW World, in AEW Dynamite, Moxley hasn't decided yet whether he's joining the Inner Circle.
Mm. Ooh, oh, yeah.
And he, you know, you just said yourself then, you're not going to Japan for one day. It's a long old flight. You're probably going to stick around for day two. Could we get some Moxley Jericho stuff in here to kind of fuel further that Dynamite storyline?
Mm.
Light the fuse, so to speak. Interesting. I don't know. But I'm going with Tanahashi is to win here. And for the, well, it's the dual championship match, the IWGP heavyweight champion, either Okada or Ibushi, versus the intercontinental champion, either Jay White or Tetsuya Naito, I have gone for Ibushi. I think he's the golden child, and I think they're going to put all of their eggs into that Ibushi-shaped basket.
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice.
I've gone for Naito.
Yeah, it's a good shout.
It's a rattier basket.
It's, I mean, going like Wrestle Kingdom.
It's a basket that's likely to also throw the belts on the floor at some point.
I think it was Wrestle Kingdom 12 when it was Okada Naito. Mm. I was really pulling for Naito to win then. So actually, like, Naito winning the belt here would be a really awesome way to close the show, and I think I'd be really jubilant for him.
I think this is the thing. I think both Ibushi and Naito there's so much upside to both of them in this match, and both of them winning.
Yeah.
And it just depends on which one they're deciding is going to get that final moment of prophecy, because it was like Ibushi winning the G1 was always the prophecy, and he's done it now, and now he's got his title. Now he's potentially in sort of the title picture.
Yeah.
And then you've got Naito always being like, well, I want to be a double champion.
Yeah.
So it feels like you've got two really good storylines to go with. Just depends on which one they want to go with.
Yeah, and I'm feeling Ibushi. And you know, I just think that New Japan, he picked them. Like, and I think that in New Japan, that's a big deal, that you could have gone to the competition, but you chose to stay with them. Granted, they're now possibly forming a partnership with that competition. But I think him sticking there around, I think it was a big deal for New Japan, so, which is why I think they have got a lot of love for him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well, we've got a bonus question to do as well. Oh, Randy, I was hoping Randy would have done the update the scoreboard, but he hasn't. So I'm going to do it here instead. Let's do our bonus question, which is, will New Japan Pro Wrestling announce a partnership with All Elite Wrestling? So this is, on either show, they make the announcement, we're working together. So it's a tricky one, because if they just say it in a press release, that doesn't really count. Because it was not announced on the show.
Well, I'm going to go no.
Yep, I've also gone for no.
I think it will be announced. I don't think it'll be announced on the show. I think it's more likely to be a press release from New Japan and AEW make a bigger deal of it on one of their shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big Dynamite announcement there. So looking at the Wrestle League scores that we've currently got running for Season 4, bearing in mind there are 20 points at play here. In first place, it's the loser of Season 3, Chopper Pete Quenelle, old Tyler Breeze himself, Chopper Breeze. In second place, or joint second, it's me and Randy with 10 points. You in third with 8 points. And bringing up the rear, it's Oliver Davis with 6, which I got more at Survivor Series.
Yeah, so what was the last pay-per-view? What's the
TLC.
Last? Oh, TLC, that was it.
Yeah.
So these are all matches. This is all from TLC.
This is all from TLC.
How many matches were there at TLC?
There's TLC and Survivor Series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's TLC and Survivor Series. But there are 20 points at play here. We've also got Impact's Hard to Kill the following week. And then we've got Worlds Collide and the Royal Rumble later this month. So
Jesus.
Season 4 is going to have like this very big finale.
Mm.
And it really is going to go... I think these two shows might already determine who's losing.
Yeah, I think so. I'm hoping it's Ollie.
Yeah, I do too. He makes the best videos. Right, well, those are our Wrestle King... Sorry, those were our Wrestle Kingdom predictions. And he said Wrestle Queendom for a second then.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
If you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you've got to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers on Patreon and leave a comment in the community tab. Do not email me, I will just lose it. Or don't send us a message on Patreon, I'll also lose those as well. Just leave it in the community tab, labeled mailbag. That's where I go to check. This first one comes in from Abnehav. This is one I think we tried to read out on the Christmas show. Mm-hmm. Do you remember we tried to do some questions?
No.
Anyway, Abnehav says, "Hi, lovely guys. And Andy. I saw online a lot of people became happy when NXT beats AEW, and I personally am very happy. I thought it's because of my NXT bias or something else, and then I realized it's not my bias. Hear me out. From the time Dynamite was launched, they have taken their fair shots at NXT, calling it developmental, not having stars and whatnot. NXT has never responded back. WWE did, and NXT is a separate universe. So in this storyline, it made NXT an underdog going against big names like Jericho, Omega, Rhodes, etc. Now, whenever NXT wins, I think it's an underdog victory, and I always love underdog stories. Do you guys also feel the same, or is it just me? Love your fan, Laurie's. Love your work, Laurie's number one fan, Abnehav." Bearing in mind as well, like things like calling that was the NXT developmental thing was a character that had lost their mind when they said that. I think a lot of people really misunderstood Omega's comments when he kept calling it a developmental. Also, it was done as a joke.
Yeah.
In the same way that Triple H calling it a pissant company at the Hall of Fame was just done to pop Billy Gunn and to pop the, you know, because he was on stage with him, and to pop the internet marks, be like, oh my God, Triple H shoots on AEW.
Yeah, he's just winding up his mates.
Exactly. They're all just friends winding each other up.
I think I was happy when NXT beat AEW in the ratings, sort of. I don't really care about the ratings.
Exciting.
I don't really think it matters. I think both are doing basically exactly the same on Wednesday nights as it is. So they are better than Raw and SmackDown. So we live in a world in which ratings don't matter because Raw and SmackDown get higher ratings than NXT and AEW.
Yeah.
And that is the inverse of what the world should be.
Yeah.
Lana and Bobby Lashley getting married got more ratings
than AEW
and NXT, which get more ratings probably than NJPW.
Yes, like, 100%.
We're just on a trickle down. Like, the best wrestling is not being watched by the most people.
No, exactly. The casual fans want to see Jerry Springer style wrestling, wedding angles.
And that's fine.
You know, it's different strokes for different folks.
Exactly.
Would you rather watch an episode of Raw produced by George Lucas or a Star Wars movie directed by Vince McMahon?
Star Wars, Vince McMahon.
Yeah, I think I'd love to watch a Star Wars movie.
Insane.
Yeah.
They're all lesbians now.
Yes. Also, like, George Lucas as a producer does nothing.
Yeah.
Like, George Lucas's whole role in this world is he's an ideas man. And then more talented people turn those into good things.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of crossover. There's a lot of, it's like, there's a lot of, he kissed her, she did this.
Yeah.
They're related. Surprise.
Yeah, very Vince.
That's very Vince.
Vince. And makes things up as he goes along, just as George Lucas did with that original trilogy. So it's really not a lot of difference between the two.
No.
Drew Porter, hello all to the WrestleTalk crew and the best gal, SoCal Val. My question is, if you could fantasy book any singles match and tag match with any wrestlers and any stipulations, and the wrestlers can be from any era or brand, what would it be? Yours sincerely, WrestleTalk... WrestleTalk's Dodo lover, Drew Porter. P.S. I love Dodos because I love primevals, and that's why I love them. So, if you could book a singles match and a tag match with any wrestlers and any stipulation, and the wrestlers can be from any era or brand. Crikey. I'm going to say Daniel Bryan versus Bret Hart submission match.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Tag match, I would like to see original DX versus Undisputed Era.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know, singles match. No. maybe then again, just Shawn Michaels versus Adam Cole. Let's just have that.
Just go with that, absolutely.
One-on-one.
Flaming Live, this is a complex question, but I would like to know your opinions. If you had the chance to bring back a TV show that was cancelled and never got an ending, what would it be? Mine would be Sliders or Jericho. And he's got some stipulations here. It cannot be a show that was cancelled after one season. Ah, dang it, that was my answer.
What, Firefly?
No, I don't like Firefly. That's going to give you some hate. No, I was going to pick Freaks and Geeks. Love that show. Okay, so I can't pick that then. So it can't be things like Firefly or Constantine or Clone High. It has to have had at least two seasons or more. They had to have had been on a main TV channel. Nothing that's been on like 3 a.m. or something like that. No shows that were cancelled, returned on another channel and cancelled again. Arrested Development, Futurama, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I suppose. He says, thanks and have a great 2020. So.
Like Shun Police. So many rules.
A show that was cancelled.
Just have Freaks and Geeks. Yeah. Sod this guy's rules. So, Luke, it's your world. Just have, you get Freaks and Geeks.
Okay, I'm going to pick Freaks and Geeks. I'm giving it to you. Thanks, mate.
Piss off with your rules. It's too much here. It's a game. I'm going to go with, what was that Terminator TV show they had?
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yeah, that one. Because when it did like their big season two finale was like, we've time traveled. And then it was like, we're never doing this again. So I was like, what? But what's going to happen?
Yeah. I'd also possibly go for the Sat AM, the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, because they had the tease at the end of Metal Sonic and then never followed up on it. Yeah, at least we think it was Metal Sonic. Anyway, Sean Dunn says, hope you had a good Christmas, everyone. After watching the prediction video, here's my 2020 prediction. Darby Allin wins the AEW title at All In, and is Darby all in? Chris Thorne says, I hope you guys had a lovely Christmas. I can't believe Pete and Jesus share the same birthday. I just remembered, I think my post from late October went unread with the backlog. I predicted then that I think AJ and Cena will have a WrestleMania feud. AJ has been saying that he wants to face a real champion, and he was sort of burying younger talent at the time, which was completely the opposite of Cena's last US title run, where he was putting over younger guys. Outside of the obvious Kane versus Brock match, do you have any predictions for WrestleMania matches or feuds? And the Battle Royals don't count, you cheeky sods. I know you thought about it.
Ooh, any predictions?
I think that AJ Cena thing will be too meta.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like Cena coming back and saying, you were burying younger stars, which is the opposite of what I was doing.
You were, yeah, I think you're more likely to get Cena coming in for a US championship, a US title shot against like Andrade now, like, and building something out of that, of again doing Cena's an American hero.
Yeah.
Andrade, he's not from America, is he?
I'd actually like to see them do AJ Randy at WrestleMania. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed the angle on Raw where they effectively said, we're going to have this match at WrestleMania, and I can't have this match now because I'm injured. Mm-hmm. I really thought they were going to play that storyline seriously and take that all the way through to Mania, but I wonder if they're going to do some stuff at the Royal Rumble and then essentially try and get out of the match at Fastlane and Elimination Chamber, maybe put both of them in the Chamber match, to do the WrestleMania rematch from last year. Only this time, the dynamics are reversed.
I think they're going to do a triple threat intergender match between Bobby Lashley, Rusev, and Liv Morgan for Lana.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, I think I think I said on the Raw episode it would be an intergender tag match.
Yeah.
Of Rusev and Liv versus Lana and Bobby. But I think your idea is better.
Yeah.
Austin Tussie says,
she's hanging from above the rope, above the ring.
She's in the shark cage.
Yeah. No, she's hanging from the title thing.
Nice. Austin Tussie says, hi guys. After the controversy surrounding the Lana wedding, speaking of, who do you think would have been a good surprise person to break up the wedding? I think it would have been a good idea for it not to be Rusev at first as the twist, but obviously not the direction they went. I'd say Aiden English would have been fun. Imagine the pop when they say, you speak now or forever hold your peace, and Aiden goes, thank you guys, keep up the good work. Yeah, I think Aiden would have been way better than
I think Aiden... Leo, like they should. I think there should have been like, why were those seats never filled? Like,
they did say because they don't have any friends.
Right.
So they have. They don't have any guests at this wedding because no one likes them.
But I just think they should have had... I think guests is more fun. I think guests would have given you much more options for people to object and walk out. Because then you'd have this like crowd of faces that the cameras can pan over and you don't know who's going to... Mm-hmm. Like when they like speak now. Because when they said speak now, forever hold your peace, everyone's going, okay, when's the music going to play?
Yeah.
Or when's Rusev going to burst out of that cake?
Yeah.
Badly. I just think it would have given them more options. And they could have... It would have made a more interesting segment than this really stilted, I'm his first wife. Yeah. It was weird. It was so long and stilted.
Yeah.
And I liked the kind of weird chaos of it, but I would have much preferred a tighter scripted, get to the point a lot quicker, less of Lana's vowels one, maybe?
Long is definitely the right word for that segment. Ryan Penn says, hi all, hope you had a good Christmas and New Year. My question is, would you rather wake up in the middle of an unknown desert or wake up in a rowing boat in an unknown body of water? I'm going body of water.
I guess boat.
Yeah.
Mostly just because I just think maybe you'd at least... I guess both you just risk dying of dehydration.
Yeah.
But maybe I feel like boat maybe is more manageable.
Is there not a chance of dehydration when you're next to water?
Yeah, like you would dehydrate because you can't drink this. If it's like, if you're in the sea, you can't drink the water.
That's true, yeah. Unless you've got a kettle on board.
Yeah, well, that's it, yeah. I guess, here we go. I guess the thing is the boat might come with supplies.
Well, this is it. Flaming's question had too many rules. Yeah, yeah. This one doesn't have enough rules.
Exactly. Like, what? So we wake up in the middle of the desert, but like in what?
Yeah.
Because in the boat, like it might be like a canal boat.
Yeah, could be.
And you might just be like, cool.
Cool, I'm in a wicked boat.
Got a wicked sweet bed.
You could be on like an aircraft carrier. That's a boat.
Yeah.
I'm on an awesome boat here. Yeah,
exactly.
Abraham says, hi, Luke and Ollie, or Pete probably. It's actually Laurie. Here's an idea for the Women's Rumble. Since Lana has been getting so much heel heat, I think a returning Nia Jax should eliminate her in the most Nia Jax way possible. This is, of course, assuming that the mixed tag match between Lana and Lashley and Liv and Rusev is on for the Royal Rumble show. If the mixed tag is on a different show after the Rumble, maybe Mania, then the four should eliminate each other. Nia can become a monster face like Samoa Joe.
There's a lot of...
So I think he's basically saying that Nia Jax eliminates Lana to do a big baby face turn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's possible.
It doesn't add much to that story. I think Nia could eliminate any other heel and it wouldn't make any difference.
Adding another person into that storyline is the last thing it needs.
Yeah.
Bryn Bogfire says, hi, Luke and Ollie, Laurie. How exactly does NXT fit into the continuity of Raw and SmackDown? Going forward into 2020, where the NXT wrestlers will potentially be in takeover events and then in main roster pay-per-views on consecutive nights, I think we deserve clarity on this. Survivor Series was confusing enough with rivals at War Games teaming together the next night. But then we saw Dunn and Cole selling their injuries from their matches at War Games at Survivor Series, but Damian Priest was part of the NXT men's team, but he had broken ribs 2 weeks later from his match with Dane at TakeOver. Shrugging shoulders. You seem to have a good working knowledge of interdimensional travel and the complexities of time travel, so I thought you might be able to help us unravel this mystery. P.S. Luke's head is the best. P.S. I'm having a big one right now.
I don't think they know where the continuity is. I think they're sort of slotting in and being told what to do on the main roster.
100%.
And that was the same when they called up a bunch of guys randomly when Vince was like, get me some of your best guys.
Yeah.
And suddenly Ciampa and Gargano were teaming together, the thing that they were building up to on NXT and they hadn't done yet.
Frustrating.
And it was very frustrating. And I guess like you got to hope that now we're past Survivor Series, that the NXT's inclusion in main roster pay-per-views is to have standout matches like Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole that are contained within the NXT universe of storytelling. So you can go, there's this pay-per-view coming up. You need to defend your title. On NXT TV, we build that match.
Yeah.
And then at the pay-per-view, they just turn up and do the match.
That's exactly it. Yeah, the problem with the Survivor Series storyline is it had to have the brand loyalty nonsense.
Yeah.
And that's where it completely falls down. That's why you've then got rivals teaming together to be like, no, but I'm fighting for my brand. It's like, why? Yeah. Why could you possibly care? But without the brand loyalty nonsense, you can just do, here's a match.
Yeah.
You two are fighting for the title and it's on WrestleMania as opposed to TakeOver wherever.
And it would be a very different idea, say Survivor Series next year, sorry, this year, 2020, would be very different to 2019 Survivor Series if NXT's involved, because NXT would be more established.
Because they're the winning,
and they're the winning team. People, but also, like, the point of Survivor Series this year was clearly to shift people from Survivor Series to watching NXT.
Completely.
So all the Survivor Series matches were just like, these are just our best ones.
Yeah.
And so it was like, it doesn't matter if you don't like each other on NXT. It's just, you're just their best ones. So you go in there and do the match.
Yeah.
Because we want people to go, they're amazing. I'm going to watch this thing. So I guess next year it can be a bit more like along sort of party lines of you're a face, you're a heel. So we're all going to put you together. And it doesn't have to be literally, we've just cherry-picked all of the best people.
It is always mad awkward, though, because it's going to be on the same weekend as War Games again.
Yeah.
So, well, we'll see. We'll see when we get there. So quite a ways away yet. Matt Field says, hi, Luke, Ollie, Chopper Pete, El Fakador, Dave, Just Dave, and Mr. SmackDown, Andy Datson. Oh my, there's a lot of you. The question I'm going to ask is about Britt Baker. Can't forget the DMD. She has all the talent in the world, there's no doubting that, but the way she's being presented is confusing. She's being talked about like a star by commentators, is the number two contender, but is then the one pinned in the Fatal 4-Way, and the crowd doesn't seem to respond to her the way AEW are talking about it. I noticed there were a lot of boos filtering through in the women's match last night, talking about this week as well. Do you think they are messing up her booking in terms of star power, because the more she gets pinned, the more her star power diminishes? Thank you for all your high-level content, and Happy New Year to you all. So Britt is, I called her kind of like the Seth Rollins of AEW, because they really do push her. It's like, she is the face of this women's division, mm-hmm. but there are people that are just way more over than she is.
Yeah.
I don't think she's connecting the way that AEW wanted to present. But then again, like, the whole point of being a wrestling promotion is you want to present people a certain way. So you're going to tell people, we're presenting you this way. And if the crowd aren't buying into it, then the crowd don't buy into it, and you have to rethink this.
Yeah.
And I think that they are starting to rethink the Britt Baker thing now, because you've got her shouting down Riho on Dynamite this week, saying, like, you're never here, I'm here, bust my ass. Seth Rollins comparison comes in. So,
and they've got Chris Statlander coming through.
Exactly,
like that, like,
yeah. So her storyline, she's been fallen by the wayside. So the problem is, it's also the same story they're doing with Hangman Page. Like, yeah. I saw someone in the comments yesterday saying, like, she should turn heel and join Nightmare Collective. And I'm like, we was literally saying this a month ago about Paige. Paige should turn heel and join In the Circle.
Mm.
Like, so it's, I don't think you can, you've got to, you do it with either one of them.
Yeah.
You can't do it with both.
No. I think maybe the women's division had slightly higher goals in Kenny Omega's mind of, like, we're going to do this very sort of Japanese style women's
division. The
Joshi
stuff, yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's not necessarily got over the way that they probably hoped. So mm-hmm. it means that people like Britt Baker, who they're pushing as sort of the American side of the company, face of the company, she's just sort of has fallen by the way. So, but then also they are just doing, I think sticking with the dentist thing is stupid. I think pushing that so hard, saying that all the time, having a dentistry themed finisher is dumb. It's like, you don't see top guys in WWE with like goofy gimmicks.
It's Ollie's been saying it for weeks. It's very 90s WWE.
And I think it is just like, you know, and like, as much as she is a dentist,
yep.
you don't need, you could just mention that offhand and
yeah.
just be like, that it makes her smart. Like,
yeah.
And it does, but she doesn't need to be like, and that it is now my finisher.
Yeah. Richard Jacques says, hey guys, with a new decade ahead of us, what would you guys like to see most? What would you guys most like? Try that again. What would you guys most look forward to seeing? Or what are you guys most look forward to seeing from AEW and WWE by 2030? So essentially, like, if by 2010, where would we want to have seen WWE by 2020? Here we are, 2020. What would you like to see from both companies by 2030?
2030.
Good Lord, that feels like too long ago. Or yeah. too long away, rather.
I think I would, going back to having talked about the ratings, I would like to see the ratings change for AEW and NXT specifically. I'd like to see them get higher ratings. I would like to see if the content is going to remain the same as it has remained mm-hmm. on WWE side of things, I would like to see Raw and SmackDown's ratings drop.
Yeah.
More in line with the actual quality of the programming that they're putting out there. If they're going to make it the same, but if not, I want to see them step up their ideas. I want to see them step up their game and make those shows good.
Yeah.
There is a version of a WWE style wrestling promotion that is, you know, as sort of camp and kitsch as it needs to be, but is actually genuinely funny and well written and well made and still has good wrestling in it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, they only seem to be focusing on the the sort of like ludicrous storyline side of things and not really on the actual wrestling.
Yeah.
And there is definitely some version of it that does both.
I would like to see the end of stop, start pushes in both companies. Mm-hmm. Like, I just if stick with something. Like, if you're trying to get something over, stick with it. I know we were just talking about the Britt Baker thing, but you can adjust. But don't just do the Cedric push of put you on TV for 3 weeks. Hey, you didn't get over. We're not putting you on TV ever again.
Oh, yeah.
Umberto Carrillo. Hey, you didn't get over. We're taking you off TV.
But also, I think the idea of... I think you've got to adjust your idea of what is getting over. Because your idea of what is getting over, they're quite often going, well, did people turn off watching at this point? Or are people in the crowd booing?
Yeah.
People in the crowd are booing because they came to see Seth Rollins. You know, or whoever it was that was advertised to them.
Yeah.
Because that's why people buy tickets to things. Like, no one buys tickets to a gig that's a mystery.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's that exact same thing. So, like, when it, you know, like, same reason most people don't go see the warm-up act of random stand-up shows because they don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. Like, people will probably be in the crowd going, like, well, who's Humberto Carrillo? But if you give Humberto Carrillo enough TV time,
you push people like stars.
People are going to start to remember who he is. Yeah. But it takes more than 3 weeks.
Yes, that's it. If from a WWE side of things, I would like to see them stop pushing them as the selling point. Mm-hmm. So WWE is not the selling point. The stars of WWE are the selling points. That's what I'd really like to see, because that way it forces you to make stars. Mm-hmm. When you are pushing yourself as the brand, as we are the draw, you don't need to make stars because you're the star. Mm-hmm. Like, the WWE is the star. But I'd like to see individual people be pushed as the stars that you are then paying to go and see.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to see.
Another thing I'd like to see, actually, is pay-per-views become important again.
Mm.
The notion of, like, the pay-per-view being where the big blow-off like match happens, the title matches actually go down. And I know that is where those things happen, but they are treated as such afterthoughts because they're not bringing in the money anymore. So, like, SmackDown is bringing in the money for WWE, really. So, SmackDown's the most important thing they're doing in terms of business.
Yep.
So...
And the Saudi show.
Yeah, and the Saudi shows. But that is the point, isn't it? It's like, that's where all the sort of, like, let's do all the extravagant stuff goes into these things now. And then, unless it's WrestleMania, nothing else particularly matters. It's all a bit sort of, well, we're just doing this because we had to put on a pay-per-view because that's kind of the tradition.
Yeah, Brock Lesnar can win Money in the Bank because we have to do that match this year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I would like to see them. I'd like to see that matter.
Well, Daniel, excuse me. Daniel says, hello, everyone at WrestleTalk. Greetings from Baltimore, Maryland. My name is Dan, and I've been listening to you all the way before King Chopper was a thing and before El Fagador fooled us all. I'm writing you all to ask you a question that's been bothering me with WWE lately, and I was hoping you guys could shed some light on the subject. I've noticed on some of the belts that they've changed the button on the belt to Velcro. I was wondering when they first made this change and why. In my opinion, it kind of makes the belt seem cheap and less prestigious. Specifically, I noticed the change on the Raw Women's title and the old IC belt. Thank you guys in your advance and your consistency. Keep up the great work. Have they changed it to Velcro?
I imagine that's just easier to get off.
Yeah.
Put back on.
P.S. All hail King Chopper Whopper. I've never noticed on TV that they... I know they on TV they often have the house show versions of the belts. So, like, when I think it was Brock Lesnar would show up without his side plates on, and people were like, oh my God, this means that Brock's losing. It's like, no, that's the prop belt.
That's not
the Brock belt. That's just the prop one because Brock didn't have the belt on him.
Yeah.
And Ronda, I think, had it a couple of times as well. But I've never seen the belts have Velcro on them. If you've got any examples in the comments, let us know. Lorenzo says, to Luke, can you let us know who will be doing the Friday shows each week in the community section on YouTube or in one of your videos earlier in the week, just in case we have a question for that specific person? No, because we don't know.
Like, it happens, we go along.
Pretty much. Like, this, us doing this video today was decided late yesterday. Mm-hmm. We don't really know who's going to do the Friday show until... usually Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 minutes before we come
in. 5 minutes before we come in. And lastly, he asked, when it comes to in-ring performances, what WWE couples do you think is the best duo? I'd say Charlotte Andrade or Gargano LeRae.
Aleister Black, Zelina Vega.
Oh, that's good, because you've got Black's the in-ring work and Vega is the manager.
Yeah, but she's also great. Like, I think she'd probably be quite a good single star.
Hmm. I've seen her in Fighting With My Family.
Yeah, I think probably Gargano or LeRae. I think your choice is probably the right choice.
Yeah, I completely agree, yeah.
Really, really good.
Another email here from Scott Howard, who says, hey, Luke, thanks for the heads up to email this to you instead of putting it in the community tab, because he left it in Patreon. And I was just like, dude, I'm going to lose this. It's not a mailbag question. It's a Rusev hey. Mm. Email it to me. Anyway, he writes, "Hello, Swaff Nation. I have a rather uniquely related Rusev fate I'd like to share with you, and be warned, it involves a rather off-color old gimmick. But history is history, right? So my biological great-uncle Kurt, the one on the right, was Kurt von Brauner number one of the Werner Brauner brothers, NWA Mid-American Tag Team Champions from 1957 to 1965. I got to meet him. Carl and Kurt were classic heels and used their German heritage as a gimmick during post-World War II America to get heat, and their manager was an Orthodox Jewish man who would lay down the Nazi flag in the middle of the ring and they would dance around it. He also interfered in matches and hit the babyfaces with his cane. I can only imagine the heat they got, but I imagine it was nuclear, as kayfabe was still alive in those days." Mm. "My dad told me he saw Kurt wrestle at a house show when he was a kid in Jacksonville, but was more enthralled with the wrestling bear at the time than any of the wrestlers." I love hearing stories like this. Like Bob Holly wrestled a bear in like his early wrestling days.
Mm.
And he talks about this in his book. And I was just listening to a review of Kane's biography. And he kind of also helped someone wrestle a bear in Japan. And so the guy could practice wrestling a bear, Kane stood in for the bear.
That's the best bit.
But I think the best bit of this is they decided to do this wrestling match with a bear in the middle of winter. Now, for any of you who are not, you know, not knowledgeable about bears,
bear au fait.
Not bear au fait. Bears are not awake during winter.
Yeah.
So this bear was just really pissed off
because yeah.
Dragged him out of hibernation.
He'd been eating all the grass and everything to form the bung.
The honey.
Yeah, exactly.
Silly old bear.
Poor bears.
My dad was adopted as a child by two lovely folks and had no connection with his birth parents. But thanks to my mum's sleuthing skills, we fast forward several decades later to find out my dad's biological uncle is this guy. A bit of a stunner, eh? Now, I heard this story from my dad and met great uncle Kurt a long time ago before I became a wrestling fan. I was inducted into wrestling fandom very late thanks to Daniel Bryan and the Yes Movement of WrestleMania. And yes, Luke, it was incredible to be there live. You could have dropped a pin in that arena when the dead man got pinned. We talked about that on our Patreon podcast, but I'd be like, I would have picked that crowd to be a part of for any show. Anyway, all I know about wrestling as a child was that I had a great uncle who used to be a sort of wrestling Nazi, and good lord, I couldn't tell anyone that. Only after understanding the art form of wrestling and reflecting back on my memories of Uncle Kurt do I realize that they were just doing a job and playing the gimmick. He was a sweet man, a loving husband to his wife Joanne, and was very kind to me and my folks when we visited them in 2001. And that man could still bench press over 200 pounds at 75. So I can only imagine what he could do in his prime. Probably fight a bear. This is a tidbit of wrestling family history. My creator wrestler name in 2K games has always been David Brauner. To prove it, and have Andy check the Wrestle League names in Season 2, you'll find that the Daddy David Brauner ranked very low at 518th place, because that's where I am, dang it. Thanks for reading this. I hope you all enjoyed a slightly related Rusev. Hey, happy holidays and an even happier new year to all you brave boys and Val over at WrestleTalk. Till all are one. And there is a photo of the Von Brauners.
Oh, wow.
Signed there. And there is a photo of our boy holding that photo.
Oh.
Which is very lovely. And that's them celebrating, I'm assuming, in 2001.
Hmm.
Very nice. What a lovely little email that was. It's not quite Alexa Bliss on a plane, but, you know. It's,
yeah, well.
I think Alexa Bliss and the Pain may end up in our top five Rusev hates of all time.
Mm.
I would like people to claim
it's
that list.
It's a film I'd watch.
I've had it with this. right, well, let's draw this episode to a close then. Thank you all so much for your contributions and your emails. We'll get to more of those on next week's shows because we've got Wrestle Kingdom this weekend. Laurie and Simon are doing the Saturday show. Me and Ollie are doing the Sunday show. And I believe Ollie and I are also going to do a full Wrestle Kingdom review. So we'll review both days. Probably just do the title matches.
Yeah.
Or at least talk about them in general. And then we'll... and that will go up as a podcast later on Sunday. Then we'll be back on Tuesday with the Raw review. Thursday with the NXT and AEW reviews. Actually, Pete's doing the Daddy SmackDown review on Saturday. It's a busy old day.
Yeah, you've got a lot of wrestling to watch. And a lot of listening to do.
Oof, good luck. Thank you all so
God
much.
Speed.
Thank you all so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Rumble,
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.